hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Turon Davenport. Turon covers the Tennessee Titans for ESPN NFL Nation. He's also covered the Eagles not all that long ago. He is currently out in Indy covering the Combine. He's also an author. His most recent book is about the Eagles Super Bowl season in 2017. It's titled A Team Makes a Miracle, Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles' Journey to the Super Bowl. He's also written a couple of books about Carson Wentz. You can find all of them available on Amazon.com. And we are honored to have him with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Turon, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Welcome, Turon.
Hey, good evening, fellas. I appreciate you having me on.
Turon, I want to kind of, jump right into it and get your thoughts on what you're seeing out there in Indy at the Combine. What has stuck out to you so far?
Well, so far, we only got to talk to the running backs and offensive linemen, a couple quarterbacks talk, some lesser-known guys. But I think really it's an opportunity to kind of gauge, like, offensive linemen, you generally have a certain type of a degree of a jerk to personality, if you're a good offensive lineman. So it was interesting, like, being able to talk to the guys and kind of unearth that, and just get them to talk about what they love most about football. And when you're able to match those type of things that they say are really their strengths as far as personality and skill sets, and you're able to match that to different GMs or coaches that you talk to, it's pretty cool to connect those dots. The running backs I always like talking to, especially smaller guys like a Trevion Williams, a Bryce Love. You get them to open up about having that dog in them, despite being a little guy, but just having that dog, that aggressiveness, that chip, and just wanting to take on the responsibilities of pass protection, because that's something that a lot of people look at a smaller running back and say, oh, he can't do that. So getting them to kind of talk with that edge about that is always something I love to do. Having that conversation with the guys is good, because I like to be able to feel the passion that they have for the game. And there's certain guys you can feel it, other guys you don't. And it tends to, especially like I said, with offensive linemen, when they talk passionately, you can feel that edge with them. And like I said, that kind of jerk trait with their personality, they tend to be the better guys in the league.
So, Turon, who are some of the guys that you are looking forward to at least watching over the next couple of days and see what they can do?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I'm really looking forward to, obviously seeing the quarterbacks throw. I'm hoping, like at this point right now, Kyler Murray is not going to throw, but I think that, there's a good shot that he'll see the other guys, ramping up to throw and he'll change his mind. It's interesting because, the previous guest, I'm not sure if I heard him correctly, but I think it sounded like he said that he didn't think Kyler Murray is going to make it. And I tell you what, I know that Cardinals team was really high on Josh Rosen, but that was in a different scheme with a different coach. When you look at this coaching staff, he likes to run that spread. He likes to run that wide open style offense. Kyler Murray is perfect for that. And, I'm glad he was able to come in and measure at 5'10", because a lot of these people kept saying he was 5'8", 5'9". And that height is not something that I think is a big issue, because you look at getting passes batted down. He hasn't had that. And last time I checked, the guys at Oklahoma, 6'5", 300-plus pounders to the NFL size. So I'm looking forward to seeing Kyler Murray. I'm hoping that he throws. Dwayne Haskins, I'm really looking forward to watching him throw. He's someone that just the accuracy is ridiculous that he brings to the table. He throws that crossing route so well. So I want to see that. I want to see Paris Campbell really show off, too, because I think he's a guy that's being slept upon. He's a really, really big-time athlete. I talked to Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, and he said that Campbell was probably one of the best athletes, that's going to be testing at the Combine. So that's the thing. DK Metcalf, I want to see him, because I'm sure you guys saw the pictures on Instagram. He looks like a stand-up edge rusher as opposed to a receiver. So I want to see how he moves at that size. So those are a few guys that I'm looking forward to seeing just overall in this Combine itself. I hope that, Bryce Love is able to run, and I want to see him also. So There's a lot of guys. Garrett Bradbury from NC State, he banged out 34 reps on the bench press. He told me about his athleticism. He's training with a group called Exos, which is probably the best combine training group. They're based in multiple cities, Florida, Texas, Phoenix, and San Diego. And they really help these guys as far as come here and show off. So I want to see Bradbury show his athleticism. He's my top-rated interior offensive line.
Bob, questions for Teron?
It's great to speak with you, Teron. And getting back to the quarterback, some people have asked me about Trace McSorley from Penn State. Is that a guy that people are going to be looking at closely? Some people think he's borderline. Some people think he has the obviously has the scholastic ability to succeed. What is your take on him?
I think McSorley is going to be a long-time player in the NFL, right? But we're not talking about somebody that's going to go in and turn a franchise around. We're talking about somebody who will be a very, very solid backup quarterback for a team that, you know, their guy goes down. McSorley can come in and he'll win you 3 out of 4 games, you know, and as the starter is trying to get himself back together. So I think for him, you know, that leadership that he brings, that experience being there at Penn State and you know, just the way he plays, that degree of athleticism that he brings also, it's going to make him an attractive player. Again, I'm not saying someone that will come in and be a starter, but he'll be a long-time NFL player. You know, when I look at him, I think of someone like a Josh McCown. I think of someone like a Ryan Fitzpatrick that just finds a way to continue to remain in the NFL because of some of the intangibles that he brings. And like I said, the leadership, the aggressiveness, not aggressiveness, but the passion for the game and the understanding of the game, that's going to work for him, in my opinion, better than his measurable will in the long term.
And Teron, it's happening right now, and I'm sure you've heard about it and covered it for a long time. But give us more insight into this Wunderlich test. I know it's happening. It'll happen more tomorrow. How much importance do you put into it? And tell our viewers more about it.
Yeah, quite frankly, I put zero importance in the Wunderlich test, to be honest with you. It's, I don't think it's anything to really measure intelligence as much as it is just measuring, how can I put it? It's critical thinking, right? In certain aspects, but there have been guys, you know, Alex Smith had, I think it was like a 42 on the Wunderlich. Last time I checked, you know, he's not the best quarterback in the league, right? So I don't really place a lot of importance on it. It is something that they use just to kind of measure, not IQ, but just like I said, critical thinking. But for me, what's more important is when you have a guy go in there and they ask him, okay, you know, give me here's a paperclip. Tell me 10 things that you could do with that, right? That's the type of thinking that I think is something that, you know, kind of it looks at your creativity, right? They'll ask you, if you had a choice to be a dog or a cat, what would you be? I think those are the type of questions. Just that whole interview process, to me, that's more important than the Wunderlich, because that also gives you the opportunity. Guys who have some background baggage, it gives you the opportunity to look them in the eye and kind of get that conversation with them and start that whole process of determining if their previous mishap was a mistake or if they were a bad person. If it's a mistake, hey, you know what? This is someone I could bring aboard as part of my organization. And look at him as someone that, you know, can turn things around. If it's a bad person, hey, you know what? We're probably going to have to move on. I think those are the things that you unearth in the interview. And that's why the human aspect of it is put in as opposed to just some test where, you know, you just ask questions and got to give answers to. I think it's not really of any importance.
Teron, you wrote an article on ESPN.com about Titans GM John Robinson may be interested in adding a veteran wide receiver or looking for one in the draft. I noticed as a Steeler fan, I noticed you didn't have Antonio Brown on that list, but who do you think they might be interested in, whether it's via free agency or through the draft?
Well, I'll tell you, you look at Antonio Brown, right? Mike Vrabel, the head coach, was asked about that, and he said that it's the first thing he said was, we treat everybody the same, and it's important for us to establish guidelines as far as what's acceptable and what's not. That tells me there's no interest in him, number one. But then number two, Antonio Brown, you know, he was in a system where he was, you know, they passed the ball a lot. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell did some good things, but they passed the ball a lot. You're not going to see that in Tennessee. So now you're putting a guy who is not afraid to let people know when he's not happy with something. You're putting him in a situation where he's likely going to be further upset because he's not getting a rock. All receivers, they want the football, you know, and that's just something that is ingrained in us. So that's the thing there. That's why Antonio Brown is not in the picture. But some guys I could see. You got Golden Tate. I don't see him in the mix, but I think Randall Cobb is someone. He's from Alcoa, which is, you know, 2.5 hours away from Nashville, but he grew up a Titans guy. You know, that's in his backyard. So I can see him being a guy, but I think Terrell Williams will be somebody of tremendous interest for them because 16 yards per catch, the guy that you can line up on the outside, and he's going to get vertical for you, a big body. He'll be a good complement to Corey Davis. But Jamison Crowder is another one that I think makes the most sense, though, because this is a team that could use a slot guy, and he also is a pretty good punt returner, so he gives him a double bonus. So he would be the one out of all the free agents I think they would look at, but I'm not so sure that they're going to sign these guys because this is an inflated market, right? The supply is kind of limited, and, you know, that's going to increase the demand, which in turn is going to increase the price, you know? I went to my economics class in college, you know what I mean? And you can take that and apply it to this situation.
Right. And Teron, last season, Derrick Henry went from a guy averaging about 10 carries a game and about 40 yards through the first 12 games, and then suddenly he's averaging 24 carries and 146 yards a game over the last four. What changed? What changed so dramatically for him?
I tell you, he started to run differently. He talked to Eddie George, you know, quite frankly, Eddie George told him, stop running like a punk. And this is a guy, you know, he's 6'3", 247, and he was getting tackled by DBs. And that can't happen. So he started to run more effectively, and he started to dish out the punishment, and also he became more patient. He wasn't pressing, trying to get 99 yards on every carry, and guess what happened? He got 99 yards on the carry. Because, like I said, he wasn't pressing. He was allowing things to develop up front. And then he started to employ that stiff arm again. And when you see everything just start to get into sync, and he's a volume running back, he wasn't getting the carries initially because they were splitting them with Deion Lewis. But then also, you had an offensive coordinator who was letting the defense tell him, you're not going to run the football. And running the football is an attitude thing. It's a mindset. You have to have that mindset and be willing to do that even when it's not working. So that's something that they started doing, and he just continued to wear it down. And then also with that zone scheme, it's different from the power scheme that they used before, so everything had to take time to get in sync. When I talk about the zone scheme, you know, it's something where it's kind of like having a lock, right? You get all the tumblers correct, and then it says whatever your password is, and it opens up, right? So everything has to be timed up correctly for it to work. And that's how the zone scheme is, like synchronized swimming. And once that thing starts to come together, you get a running back, he's going to stretch that outside, you know, press it, and then cut it back and get the yards. And that's what you saw starting to happen.
So what's your expectation for the Titans in this upcoming season? That the Texans and the Colts are both teams that appear to be on the rise. Can the Titans make it a three-team race?
I think it is a three-team race. It's not a matter of making it one. It already is. It's a team that was 9-7 the last couple of years. If you look at what happened this past season, I mean, there was a lot of chaos. You had your quarterback out a good, 2 to 3 games. You know, you have Blaine Gabbert starting. Listen, man, if Blaine Gabbert is your starter and you find a way to win, you deserve credit as a head coach. But then you also have to look at the other things that happened. They lost their top receiving option in Delanie Walker. He's going to be back. He's trending to be, he's hoping to be able to run during OTA. So that's a big time thing because now you have Delanie Walker, you get Jonnu Smith back, you run at 12 personnel, which is something that they wanted to do. And that's just going to help you be able to run the football effectively also. So I think it's going to be a race. I think they're going to add some key pieces, whether it be the draft or free agency. You know, they got that defense is outstanding already. You bring back Kenny Vaccaro, you go along with the best safety in football. And yes, I said the best safety in football. His name is Kevin Byard. That tandem is outstanding. And then you have, you know, a solid secondary as far as the corners are concerned. They need to get more pressure on the quarterback. So that's why free agency is key. I would look at Za'Darius Smith as a guy they'll bring in. Collectively, you know, that's going to make them better. It's about getting weapons from Marcus Mariota as well, because he really has to show himself as someone that's worthy of a long-term contract. So don't be surprised if they draft somebody as far as receivers are concerned. DeMarcus Lyles is a good fit, in my opinion. D.J. Brown is a good fit because he can play inside and outside. I think Kelvin Harmon will be there for him, too. So there's some good options for them.
Bob, a couple more for Charon before we let him go.
Sure, a couple more about general NFL. Charon, your knowledge of the Eagles we know, so I'm going to ask you about their decision to go with Wentz and probably part ways with Foles, and where do you think Foles might land?
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you give up that type of draft capital to move up and get a guy, you got to stick with him. And it's not like Wentz played poorly. Obviously, he won when Foles came in. There was a little bit of a switch that was flipped, and the level of play went up. But, you know, I'm not going to say they were playing poorly when Wentz was the quarterback. I think Wentz is embedded within that locker room. Obviously, that article came out. But you know what? Nobody's perfect, and I don't care who you are. You're never going to please everybody. So I'm not putting much weight in that. Carson Wentz is a quarterback I think is outstanding. They still have a degree of explosiveness, especially when they're able to get on the same page as far as getting those off-script plays. You know, you look at that Super Bowl year, you know, the first, 11 games that Wentz played, a lot of those big plays, he was getting off-script. And then, you know, the receivers would turn their route up and roll with them, and you were getting big plays that weren't even part of the program. And that's what Wentz brings to the table, that degree of uncertainty that's placed upon the defense. So it's 3rd and 11. You're not absolutely out of it because he's someone that could be effective in those situations. As a matter of fact, a lot of their biggest plays came in that very situation, 3rd and long. So Wentz is someone I would completely, you know, dedicate my resources to and, you know, allocate everything as far as like our future. He's a cornerstone of the franchise. That's how I would look at it if I were a GM. And that's how they're looking at it. Nick Foles, I think, is going to be a really good fit for a team like Jacksonville. Why? Well, you have John DeFilippo there, the QB coach, who, along with Frank Reich, sat down with Foles and said, okay, what is it that we can make work? Like, how can we make this offense work for you? And they turned things around, and all of a sudden, Foles became Super Bowl MVP, right? Because they found ways to utilize what he likes to do most. So the Nick Foles that you get is the one, or that you want, is the one that will excel in that scheme. DeFilippo is the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. So it's a perfect fit for them. So I can see that happening. They're going to have to find a way. You know, Blake Bortles is a guy, I call him a double agent, you know, because he kind of plays for both teams. You know what I mean? He'll make some good plays for you, but more good plays for the opposing team. So they got to find a way to get out of that contract. But once they're able to do that, you know, and find the money to have Foles, I think they'll be okay.
And finally, Teron, your reaction to the return of Jason Witten. I guess he thinks that team is very close to winning a title and could benefit from his return, and he's still got the fire. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You can't take the fire out of a guy. Like, if you love football, even like, you know, I'm sitting here talking about it, and I'm like excited about it. You know what I mean? You can't take it out of someone. And I think just being around the game still and having the opportunity to still, you know, be so close to football, I think it kept his fire just continually burning as highly as it did when he was playing. So it's a good thing for him. It's going to be interesting because, you know, one of my colleagues, Emory Hunt, from Football Game Plan, he was talking to Coach Garrett, Jason Garrett, about developing Blake Jarwin as a tight end. And then, you know, the next day they go and sign Witten. So we'll see what happens there. I don't, you know, think it's anything that's going to take them to the next level and make them suddenly become a championship team, though. But, you know, adversity is something that has started to come Dak Prescott's way, and he was able to, you know, work through that. And having Witten there, I'm sure that'll be, like, you know, another safety blanket. But you just have to overcome it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works.
Teron, before we let you go, talk about your book, and certainly for Eagles fans, but for just everybody in around football that loves the game, talk about what they'll find in your book and what makes Doug Peterson such a great coach.
Yeah, for sure, man. There's a song by a group called H-Town. It was out in the 90s, and, you know, guys like in my age bracket, we'll always say, you know, you get that age town in you because you want that old thing back. And that's kind of what these Eagles fans want. They want that old thing back, right? They want to be able to relive that Super Bowl season. And that's something that you could do through the book. The book talks about just Doug Peterson's path from a high school football coach to a quality control guy all the way up to a head coach. And just it goes over the different things that he was, put through as far as like trying to make that next step. It talked about some of the, I'm not going to name the guy's name, but he made a kind of silly statement saying Doug Peterson was completely unqualified to become a head coach. And ironically, the year later, he was a Super Bowl head coach, beat Bill Belichick. It goes over that. It talks about just the adversity, even just in groups. You know, guys like Nelson Aguilar, Jalen Mills, the offensive line, Brandon Brooks. You know, there's a guy who had a depression issue. And here he, not depression, excuse me, anxiety issue. And here he was in the Super Bowl, the biggest game, of his life, and he was completely okay. So I got him to open up about that. It talks about that. Talks about Zach Ertz and how he went from being a guy that the fans considered to be soft and that hated him to a guy that was making the key play for him to win the Super Bowl to someone that the Eagles love now, the fans and everybody. So each aspect of it just brings a different story of overcoming adversity. And that's why, you know, it's so awesome to be able to look back on that group and just how they overcame different things. And collectively, they rose up and it was David versus Goliath. And, you know, like in the Bible, they slayed the giant. And no one thought that they would beat the Patriots, but they ended up doing it. And this just kind of takes you on that path inside the locker room view. A lot of one-on-one conversations with guys that were on the Eagles. You will see the results of those conversations right there in that book. So that's why, in my opinion, and of course I'm a little biased because I wrote it, but it's a must-have.
It's titled, A Team Makes a Miracle, Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles' Journey to the Super Bowl, available out on Amazon.com. Teron, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you can just go social media, T Davenport_NFL. That's my Twitter page. Same Teron Davenport on Instagram. I go to ESPN.com, click NFL, click Titans. That'll take you to everything I do Titans-wise. And I also go to 102, or actually The Game Nashville. I have a weekly podcast where I break down plays with players during the season. And then I also, during the offseason, we're talking free agency. I have draft prospects on. I just had A.J. Brown on last week. So go to there. It's called Talking with TD. You just type that in SoundCloud. You can get that too. So I appreciate it, fellas.
Thank you, Teron. Thanks, it's always great to have you as part of the show. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Just let me know.
Take care.
Take care, Teron. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Nice.
That is Teron Davenport. And, boy, you listened to some of the things that he was pointing out, Bob, and certainly knows the ins and outs of what's happening with the Titans probably better than anybody. And then there at the combine as well, breaking it down with some of the guys that he's had an opportunity to see so far. But boy, great stuff out of him.
Terrific insight, Chris. And obviously he and I disagree a little bit on the Kyler Murray, but the great thing about football is it'll wash out, right? We'll find out how it goes. And he does give some good insight into why he'll succeed, but, until they get out there in the field, let's just watch it unfurl. But great guy to have at the combine, really schooled in the NFL.
Yes, he is, and I'm certainly not a huge fan of the combine. I've always said that you look at you want to understand how a guy is going to play. There's plenty of game film on him. That's where you're going to see it. I'm not a big fan of guys doing things in shorts and t-shirts and out there on the field with no pressure. Not a defense or not an offense that's coming at you. So, but anyway, it's all about the numbers, and I'm sure there are some things that guys will glean from it, and there's certainly a big event with all the scouts. But I like game film. I'm a game film guy, not a shorts and t-shirts guy. All right, we will come back on the other side of this real quick station break, and we'll certainly be turning on our spotlight on the positive. We got two more great stories for you. Hang with us. We'll be right back.